You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Yesterday, the legislature reconvened to debate a long list of bills. And the common theme among these bills? Challenging federal and employer COVID-19 vaccine requirements. Joining us live to get us caught up on what's going on at the Capitol is James Dawson. He covers politics for Boise State Public Radio News. Hi, Jimmy.
Hey, always good to be here, Gemma.
So let's start off, Jimmy, about reminding us quickly how we actually got here, because the 2021 session never, we should say, officially ended. So this week is really a continuation of what happened in the spring?
Yep. So we were already in the longest legislative session in Idaho history, and we're still in it, right? We're still on day 300 and something. So basically what happened was the Senate wanted to adjourn for the year, and they voted to do so, but the House just voted to recess instead, subject to the Speaker of the House wanting to come back into session. And so there was this whole question of, you know, can they not do this? Because normally it takes the governor to call the legislature back into any kind of special session. But with the House reconvening, since they were just at recess, that dragged the Senate back in here too.
Okay, so let's talk about yesterday, because it was a long day. There were debates, there were committee meetings, there was voting in both the House and the Senate. So two questions, Jimmy. How long could this reconvened session last? But also, has leadership said anything about what they want to happen?
Sure. I'll take on the first one first. So it's scheduled to last through tomorrow. They're moving very quickly. Sorry to anyone listening to maybe the rebroadcast later tonight, but things are going to be in flux. We've had a bunch of bills passed this morning, and they're going to act on them this afternoon. As for what leadership says for what they want to happen, the Senate certainly, you know, going back to what I said earlier, they wanted to adjourn for the year back in May, and they didn't want to come back.
Yeah.
So they are kind of taking a wait and see approach to see what the House is doing. They had a committee hearing this morning that was just informational. They didn't pass any sort of bills onto the floor. So they're kind of putting all of this on the House at the moment. And as for Speaker Bedke, earlier, like throughout this whole fall and summer season, when he was having lawmakers urge him to call this legislature back into session, you know, he said he wanted a narrowly tailored bill only dealing with vaccine mandates. And of course, we've seen a whole lot of bills that, maybe tangentially, go along with vaccine mandates, but there are several that really didn't have anything to do with it.
So I want to talk about the public, Jimmy, because, I mean, this is the public house, right? Members of the public can come into the state house. It seems, though, maybe things have gotten, what's the right word, a little bit rowdy at times?
You could say that. So yesterday, and I know we're going to talk about this, but we had the vote on the ethics findings for Representative Priscilla Giddings, and there were, many of her supporters packing the House gallery yesterday, applauding and clapping along with supporters and Speaker Bedke, who normally gavels that down, and he did so a couple times yesterday. People have been kicked out of the House gallery before for being disruptive or signaling one way or the other whether or not they support whatever was happening at the time. He did not kick them out even after he warned them. It happened again. And so we've seen kind of that. As for today, it seems like things have quieted down, which normally happens, during any special session or as a regular session goes on.
Okay, so I know we're going to get to some of the bills you're watching, but I do want to get back to Representative Giddings for a minute, because as you mentioned, the ethics, there's been an ethics investigation into her. Remind us how it came to be that the House did have to vote on whether or not to censure a member of its own body.
Yeah, to talk about this ethics investigation, I guess you have to include the first ethics investigation into former Representative Aaron Von Ellinger. A 19-year-old legislative intern accused him of raping her back in March. And, you know, as things were unfolding, where we got, we as in the media and the public got, copies of the complaints against, Von Ellinger. You had Representative Priscilla Giddings post on Facebook a link to a far right blog site that named and included a photo of the intern who accused him of raping her. And so a whole lot of her colleagues in the House really objected to that. They filed there were two complaints, from a couple dozen lawmakers, if I remember correctly, including members of leadership, saying, that's just conduct unbecoming. That shouldn't be allowed. And so there was a hearing held in August, and the House Ethics Committee unanimously recommended that she be censured and removed from a seat on the House Commerce and Human Resources Committee. They said, quote, her repeated lying, half-truths, and total disrespect for the Ethics Committee and the Ethics Committee process is conduct that cannot and will not be tolerated. And, well above the majority of the House agreed with that yesterday.
So in the end yesterday, Jimmy, 49 lawmakers voted in favor of censuring her. So how long does the censure last? And honestly, what does it mean for her moving forward?
I mean, censuring is just kind of, I'm not going to say a slap on the wrist because it doesn't happen very often, but it's a public rebuke of her actions. As for the removal from committee, that was kind of in question yesterday. When she spoke, she pointed out that at least the report from the ethics committee that I'm reading doesn't say that it's supposed to last through this first half of the session, for this year, or whether it extends into next year. So that's kind of unclear. She said she might show up, but she also said that, when she was saying that she would do this again, she would do nothing different. On the floor yesterday, she also said that this frees up her schedule and she's got a lot to do, which she does because she's running for lieutenant governor next year.
So fair enough. Okay, I want to switch to the bills then. What are you monitoring today?
Lots of things. So the biggest one that stood out to me this morning was one from Representative Bruce Skog from Nampa, who's an attorney and handles a whole lot of different things. But his bill is pretty wide ranging and all encompassing. This would not only ban employers from implementing some kind of mask, or sorry, not mask mandate, but vaccine mandate for their employees. But it also touches on public accommodations too. So it has some exemptions for schools, daycare facilities, and long-term, care facilities and retirement homes that get Medicare and Medicaid dollars. But other than that, it goes pretty far.
So how does it affect businesses who might want, Jimmy, either maybe their customers or their employees to be vaccinated?
Yeah, it affects them significantly. It says that, a public accommodation to exclude, limit, segregate, refuse to serve, or otherwise discriminate against a person based on their immunization status is forbidden. So, if you think about concerts, for instance, Treefort Music Fest earlier this year said that, we're only allowing people who have been vaccinated or tested negative for COVID recently can come in and attend this. That's a pretty standard thing we've seen across the country from big venues, and that would no longer be allowed if this bill were to come into law.
So, Jimmy, how can companies respond, or how would they feel about these kind of anti-vaccine mandate policies? I mean, we're talking private businesses, right? That normally Republicans would tend to say, let business do what businesses want to do. This is a completely different response traditionally.
Yeah, and that's really the tug of war right now in the Republican Party, who hold 80% of the seats in both the House and Senate, right? So you have a lot of Republicans who want to be more hands-off. They're kind of cringing at, implementing more sort of mandates for businesses in this regard, but others really want to see them. As for how the companies are responding, it varies. You have the Idaho Association of Industry and Commerce, which represents the huge businesses. We're talking the Microns, the Simplots, the St. Luke's, St. Al's, etc. They've come out forcefully and said, no, we don't want this. This is just further red tape for private businesses that we shouldn't have to jump through. And then, of course, you have the individual businesses that, you know, business owners who've testified or written letters to the editor and said, no, this is ridiculous. I don't want to enforce any kind of vaccine mandate that might be coming from the federal government, for instance, with President Biden's vaccine or testing mandate that's currently wrapped up in the courts.
Mm-hmm. So, Jimmy, yesterday, JFAC considered a $2 million fund that would help this our state pay for any lawsuits on vaccine mandates against the federal government. That failed, though. So what happened?
Yeah, it was kind of, I don't want to say surprising, but it was kind of interesting since it was the first bill that actually got acted on yesterday. So basically, it comes down to the fact that there are already two separate funds that can be used for this kind of action. You have the Constitutional Defense Fund and a separate fund that legislative leaders can already access. And combined, those two funds have $4.8 million in them and can be used right now to do the same thing. And so that's really what legislators balked on. They're like, well, if we already have this money, why do we need $2 million more to establish this separate fund that, you know, is fairly similar to the others?
All right. So this sounds like this session is going to wrap up fairly quickly. However, they will be back in January. I am assuming, Jimmy, that we're going to see bills having to do with vaccines come January.
Yep, absolutely. Because you had a handful of them go to the House Health and Welfare Committee, which is chaired by Representative Fred Wood, who's the only physician right now in the legislature who is not meeting to even consider these bills. One of them that stands out to me was, you cannot, or the state could not, take action against any kind of nurse or doctor who prescribes unproven, non-FDA approved, medication to treat COVID-19. You couldn't, essentially put a black mark on their professional license record. So I would imagine that bill and other bills that were also sent to the House Health and Welfare Committee will be coming back here in just a few weeks.
So before I let you go, Jimmy, we are going into primary season, as you mentioned. How does all of this fit into that context?
Well, of course, you got a lot of people who want to bring back to their constituents, hey, I did this for you. I listened. I read your emails. I listened to your voicemails. And this is what I did for you. And please reelect me. The second half of legislative sessions usually go a little bit shorter, hopefully shorter than this one, since there's also generally, it's frowned upon to campaign or raise money while the legislature is in session. Right. So, it's certainly setting the stage, and the pandemic and everything associated with it will be the number one issue, that politicians want to bring to the voters.
Well, as always, Jimmy, we are so appreciative that you cover the legislature for us. Thanks for the update on that.
Sure thing. Thanks, Gemma.
Absolutely. We've been talking with our own James Dawson about this session being reconvened. We'll have more Idaho Matters next.